All right. I told the early service, I really appreciate them for waking everybody up, you know, because they were kind of a little drowsy, you know. It's amazing. You know, I heard a story one time of a pastor that was preaching, and at the end of the sermon, he said what a lot of pastors do, every head bowed, every eye closed. A guy sitting in the back there elbowed his buddy and says, "I beat him to it. My head's been bowed and eyes been closed for 25 minutes. Hopefully you're awake. That don't wake you up. Nothing will." Let's put it this way. Well, last week, if you were with us, we've been studying the life of Joseph. And Pharaoh had promoted Joseph because he had some dreams and nobody could interpret them except Joseph. And Joseph interpreted the fat cow's and the skinny cow's dreams. Now, this is not about ice cream or anything like that. Fat cows and skinny cows, the dreams are about 7 years of plenty for Egypt and 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh promoted Joseph. Have you ever been promoted? That's a good feeling, is it? You know, somebody recognizes your worth and gives you a promotion. You ever been demoted? That's not a good feeling. I remember talking to a guy in our church several years ago, and he said, "Pastor, I used to be the president of a company of 70 people. I was the head of the whole thing. And now I retired, and I'm second in command of a company of two." I think I knew what he meant by that. Well, let's look at Joseph's rise to power in Genesis chapter 41. I'm going to read verses 37 to 57 this morning. "So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, 'Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?' Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you.' And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'See, I've set you over all the land of Egypt.' Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried out before him, 'Bow the knee.' So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, 'I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt.' And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him as his wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Now in the seven plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up the food in the cities. And he laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. And to Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, 'For God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house.' And the name of the second he called Ephraim, 'For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction.' Then the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come. As Joseph had said, the famine was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, and the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, 'Go to Joseph, whatever he says to you, do.' The famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened up the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, and the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. So all countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain, because the famine was severe in all the lands." Let's pray. Today, Father, the word is open. I pray that, God, you would take your holy, inspired word Use it, Father, to speak to the areas in our life that need to be encouraged, that need to be rebuked, that need to be grown. Father, help us from your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's take a look at the promotion that Joseph received from Pharaoh. He's promoted to second in command in these verses of Scripture. Because Joseph was so wise in giving the advice to Pharaoh what to do because of the famine, Pharaoh looked at him and he looked at his servants and he said, "Can we find anybody better qualified and more wise than this guy to oversee this project that we need to do?" So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I've set you over all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh notices the presence of God in Joseph. Now, Pharaoh was a pagan pagan king. He didn't probably know God, but he knew about Joseph, and Joseph always talked about his God. And Pharaoh noticed the presence of God. He said, "A man in whom the Spirit of God has shown you all of this." And Joseph didn't even have to preach a sermon, lead a prayer group at all for Pharaoh to notice that there was something different about this guy. And he acknowledged that the Spirit of God is in him because of his character, because of what he said, his message, because of his knowledge and his wisdom and his humility. I wonder, do people see Jesus in us? Maybe you know the Lord as your Savior. You've been saved. You can get a testimony. But nobody knows that God is in you because you kind of live like the rest of the world. You speak like the rest of the world. You frown like the rest of the world. Do people see the Lord in your life? Is the presence of His Spirit there that comes out in your character, that comes out in the way you live, that comes out of your strength under pressure, your joy, and how you treat people is different? Pharaoh noticed that. The apostles were recognized because as men who had been with Jesus, I hope that we are recognized as well. Also notice that Joseph goes from the prison to the palace, from the pit to the pinnacle, from iron chains around his feet to having a gold chain around his neck. Joseph had been faithful over all the little things that God had brought into his life, and now he'd become ruler over all the land of Egypt under Pharaoh. You know, I see something here as we've gone through the life of Joseph. There's little snapshots or pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this, we see another picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph is the type of Christ here as Jesus was with the Father, favored son with the Father, came all the way down to become a humble servant and die on the cross. And then God highly exalted him. I'd like to read you that from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him, given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on the earth, those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Exactly what Joseph did is a model of Jesus Christ. Joseph had the favored son status with his coat of many colors. He was thrown into a pit. His coat of many colors was ripped off of him and spotted with blood, just as our Lord's garments were stained with his blood. and Joseph was humbled. But he came up out of that pit, and he was highly exalted, and all the knees bowed to him, just like a beautiful picture of our Savior. Joseph now is promoted to second in command. The job description and investiture ceremony detailed in these verses of Scripture gives this high position in the Egyptian government. It would be called the Grand Vizier, or the overseer of the royal estates. We would think of him as a prime minister. He's not the king, but he takes care of all the king's business. Well, we've seen Joseph promoted. Now, along with the promotion comes some benefits and honor, verses 42 to 44. First thing he gets a ring. Pharaoh takes off the signet ring that he had on his finger and puts it on Joseph's finger. Now, this is not just decoration. The signet ring was what the king would use to seal and sign documents. When the seal was impressed on a soft clay document and then it hardened, it left an indelible impression of the ruler's seal and so carried his authority. I think that this also perhaps acted as a type of payment method when he needed to sign for materials. As Joseph was going around Egypt, he had to gather materials and have people paid, and he would just pull out his signet ring. It would be like a platinum Visa or a MasterCard or American Express, and he would use this. And whatever the current leading payment, he would just say, "Hey, I'm with the king, and here's the signet ring to pay for that." Well, he received the ring. He also receives a new garment. 13 years before, when Joseph was 17 years, his brothers stripped him of his special robe. Now Pharaoh puts a new robe upon him, just as Jesus will be clothed in those royal robes when he comes again. Joseph has this special robe of great significance. He receives the ring and the garment. He also receives a gold chain. The chains and linen garment are given in a ceremony of investiture, provided him with the accessories will signify his status, rank, and office. He had the chains around his ankle. Now he has a gold chain around his neck. He also receives something else. You know what Pharaoh gives him? He gives him the second chariot. Now, first chariot, of course, goes to Pharaoh, but he's got the second chariot. He was given his own chariot with no doubt a chauffeur, and he would be driving all over Egypt, and it probably had a company car with unlimited mileage that would go in with that. He would go everywhere. He had this privilege. Now, you would think that he would have all of this stuff go to his head, but it doesn't. He is also honored. In verse 43, this is what it says about Joseph. Pharaoh had him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried out before him, "Bow the knee." So he set him over all the land of Egypt. It seems like as Joseph would make his way in doing his business throughout the land of Egypt, he had his chauffeur, chariot driver. He also had a team going with him. And the team that would go with him would be like his bodyguards. And so, "Who is this guy?" And they would say, "This is Zaphnath-Paneah." I'm trying to make sure I don't mess that name up. It's very difficult. And he would say, "Proclaim everybody, bow the knee. Here comes Joseph's chariot, is the one that Pharaoh set over all the land." And they bowed down before him. And just as a picture of one day, his brothers are going to bow now. Remember the dream that Joseph had about his brothers and even his parents bowing down before him. He is honored. Well, he gets the bling, he gets the chariot, and now Joseph gains a family. Verses 45 and 50 to 52. He gets a new name. As I said before, his name is Zaphnath-Paneah. Just like in Babylon, Daniel and his three friends, remember when they were exiled from Jerusalem in the book of Daniel to Babylon? they gave Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah new names. It was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel got a new name. And they were trying to, just like here, Egyptianize Joseph. So I would think, you know, that's a lot of pressure to act like and look like an Egyptian. But it was very important in order for Pharaoh's court and everybody to respect Joseph, to have a new look and a new name and all of that. And also the people that were be out in Egypt that would have to listen to what Joseph said, they would have to respect him. So he gets this new name. The meaning of Joseph's Egyptian name is uncertain, but as Bible scholars put their heads together, it seems to mean God speaks and he lives. What a beautiful picture here. God was speaking to these pagans through Joseph, and he, God, and Joseph is alive. Even though his brothers tried to kill him, thought to kill him, he was alive, and he was going to save lives in all the land and all the world because of what he would do. That was a fitting name to give Joseph. But I noticed that Pharaoh still calls him Joseph. Even though he has this name, Pharaoh's still calling him Joseph. Well, he gets a new name. He also gets a new wife. Asenath is her name. Pharaoh gave him a wife, Asenath, from the priestly family of On, which was a city of sun worship 7 miles north of Cairo. Also, it's known as Hierapolis, that city was. The priests in Egypt were a powerful caste, and having an Egyptian wife would strengthen Joseph's relationship with the religious leaders in the land. So in order to get him to the place where he needed to be, for God to use him in a great way, he got a new wife. And I like, as I was reading through the commentaries, I came to Warren Wiersbe, who's a great Bible teacher. He says this, I like to believe that Joseph taught his wife about the true and living God so that she, like Ruth, abandoned her false gods and came under the wings of Jehovah, the God of Israel. I'd like to think Joseph, who was a godly man, talked to his wife about the true God. Well, Joseph not only gets a wife, he gets a new name, he gets two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. If you look at the 12 tribes of Israel, you don't find a tribe of Joseph, do you? You find a tribe of Manasseh and Ephraim. So Joseph really gets two tribes because of his godliness and what he did for the Lord. Manasseh means forgetting. Joseph didn't forget his family or the tragic events that happened in his life. But he did forget the pain and the suffering that they caused. He realized that all that he went through, God meant it for good. Genesis 50, verse 20. Therefore, looking at the past from that perspective, he attained victory over his bad memories and the bitterness that he could have had. He could have carried a grudge in his heart because of the way his brothers had treated him. But grudges are like weeds in a lovely garden and are like germs in a healthy body. They just don't belong there. The name Ephraim means twice fruitful. So Egypt had been a place of affliction for Joseph, but now he had two sons and was fruitful in the land. But even more, he would become fruitful as a second ruler of the land and be used of God to save many lives, including the lives of his own family and the future Israel. God made him forgetful and fruitful. Let's look at how Joseph plunged into his new job. Verses 45 to 57 tells that. He gets in his chariot and he starts driving through the whole land and starts storing up grain in the years of plenty. Look at verse 46. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. You would think that he would just kind of enjoy all of that recognition, just to look at his new garment and get out there and shine up his new chariot. And look what Pharaoh gave me, guys. I got this new chariot to drive around in. Look at my garments here and this ring that I've got on my finger and this necklace. And look at all of this. No, Joseph got to work right away. He didn't abuse his privilege. It didn't go to his head. He plunges into his work. There was a lot to do with all the logistics and the accounting. It was a challenge. So Joseph gathered very much grain. As a matter of fact, as the harvest, he took 20%, one-fifth of the crop, and began building these big cities that would store the grain. For a while, they started counting how many tons and how much, whatever the Egyptian measurement was, and then it just got so much that they just stopped counting. It was just so much that they were storing up. So, and then the years of famine came, and his selling the grain in the years of famine. Because of Joseph's wise preparation, Egypt became a supply source for the whole region, which suffered the severe famine. So all the countries came to Joseph to buy grain, even the people from Canaan, even his own family. And we'll get to that story next week when his brothers come to buy grain. Joseph is promoted to this powerful position, but he uses this power to help people, save lives, not bask in the glory. As I think of this story of Joseph's promotion, I'd like to share with you three applications that we can take away from this passage of Scripture. Just as Joseph, Pharaoh noticed God in his life. I wonder, can people, can the world detect the presence of God in our life? Can they see him in our character? Can they see him in the way we talk? Can they hear him in our joy? Can they see there's something different about us and they want to know more? A well-known Bible teacher had just finished speaking to a large class of business people on the Christian's responsibility to be the light of the world, and that believers have an obligation to reflect the light of Christ. After the class, one of the members related to him an experience that he had in his home that impressed him about the same truth. He said that one day he went down into his basement and saw that in the darkest corner of the basement, something very surprising. There was potatoes in that darkest corner had sprouted and were growing in the basement. At first, he couldn't figure it out, how they had gotten enough light to sprout and to grow. Then he noticed that was hanging from the ceiling near the basement window where a little bit of light came in. There was a shiny copper pot. And the light from the window had reflected on that copper pot and shined in that dark corner enough light for those potatoes to start growing. I wonder, you live in a dark world, people lost. Are we reflecting Jesus to this dark world? We need to do that. Joseph shows us how we need to walk in joy and integrity and compassion for others and following the word. Another application we can make. Joseph passed several tests. Now he faces the toughest one, the test of prosperity. He passed the test of being mistreated by his family, the test of being made a slave, the test of being lied about and unjustly sent to prison, and then the test of being forgotten about for 2 years by the butler. Joseph had passed all of them with a godly score and didn't get bitter and didn't get angry and didn't blow his top or all. Now he has to handle prosperity. You know, for as many as people that can handle being sick and going through tough times and death and all kinds of things, a lot of times we wilt under prosperity. When we're rising high in the world, when we're being looked at and favored and we make more money, that's when we really have got to put on our godly spirit. And Joseph passed the test of prosperity. We need to as well. Third application. Joseph named his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Manasseh means forgetting the past, and Ephraim is fruitful in the future. Forgetfulness and fruitfulness. It's a wonderful thing that we can come through times of trial with the kind of attitude Joseph had, burying past hurts and rejoicing in the present blessing, being forgetful and fruitful at the same time. I know, though, there's a lot of Christians that can't. A lot of Christians that cannot forget that time that some other Christian hurt them or some family member said something about them and bitterness has crept into their heart. And they can't go any further because they're always dwelling, my dad did this to me, my parents did this, or another Christian did this, and it just preoccupies your whole time instead of being focused on the future and being fruitful for the Lord. Oh, my friend, I know I'm speaking to someone today that just can't get over the past. Joseph had a lot of hurt, and it could have poisoned him. And that evil poison of bitterness could have just soaked into his soul. But he named his son Manasseh. I'm going to forget and not let bitterness destroy me, but I'm going to be fruitful for the future. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray, Father, for that child of God that's here today that is going through a difficult time, and maybe the pain and the hurt of the past has just immobilized them, turned them bitter. I just pray that those old hurts would just be put away as an old garment that just needs, as Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, but reaching forward to those things which are before. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.